Good to see you today. That kind of singing peps up a tired old man. So maybe I'll make it for the next hour or two. As it says on the screen, this is part two of a three-part series. And this part is insights from church assemblies recorded in the New Testament. I don't know quite how I backed into this lesson. It's an almost impossible thing to go through in the time that's allotted, and it's a difficult subject. And it's also a dry subject, but I'm sure you can smile a time or two through it and help me out. things are very important. Maybe we ought to be looking to next year a little bit. Next year, maybe next year we can grow together and work together, and we are renewed in the Spirit in 2019. Last Sunday, Ed talked about whole life worship. And he used these scriptures, Romans 12, 1 and 2. And he pointed out that it requires a daily sacrifice of self and replacing that with Christ. And he talked about the next time someone asks you about where you worship, what are you to say? Pardon? Wherever you are? Well, that's getting in the right direction, I think. Okay. Hopefully your answer will be, I worship God by the way I live 24/7, 365. Anybody remember that from last week? Yeah. All of you haven't got failing memories. And we assemble collectively with each other, with other worshipers at Central Church of Christ on 407 Clinton Avenue East. I thought that was a nice thing. And our personal worship, and then there's our assemblies. It's the assemblies that I'm going to be talking about today for a little while. And there's some things about it. I'll talk about the call to be unified, the biblical principles, the results of the biblical principles, and I'll have a few concluding remarks. Then I'll make up on the way. So why is this topic important? Why is it important anyway? Well, is this mic on?
No, it just went off.
Pardon?
It just went off.
That mic just went off?
Say turn it on.
Turn on the mic.
Turn on
the bell. I don't know anything. Whoop, there we go. What am I to do next? I'm not going to start over. You just have to live without the first part of it. That's all. I only got so much gas in the tank, so I'm not going to recycle. All right, why is the topic important? It's just an ordinary, with 1 week and all that kind of stuff. Why is it important? Well, it's a topic of much interest, in fact, especially the Sunday assembly. There's high interest shown in the realms of life survey. And there are many comments and conversations. But if you go forward, you really have to go forward in unity, don't you? And that's where one of the cautions comes. There's much diversity and many opinions about what does and does not happen here. Anybody here ever express an opinion on it? One way or the other? Now, But this is the way in which subtle things can happen. Dissatisfaction, discontent, disunity, and sometimes grumbling can result from that. And that breaks what? The unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And we're called to take care of that problem. Now, I'm not implying we have some big looming problem. Let's look at this lesson as a problem prevention and an opportunity to grow in unity in a very delicate area. Because everybody has an opinion, and everybody's invested in it emotionally, aren't they? To one degree or another. Or they're turned off by what they didn't get, that kind of thing. So, for the good of the kingdom, we need to come together on a common understanding of the basic biblical principles and relate these principles to what we're going to do as we move forward. It's just a good opportunity and a good exercise in building unity at the small level. If you would read with me, please, and I'm going to inconvenience you a little bit just to be sure that I get a little time here, but I'll get used to this thing in a minute. I want you, if you will, please stand, and let's pay, and that's to play to pay respect to the scriptures, but stand as we read this in unison, please. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no division among you, and that you may be perfectly united. As a prisoner of the Lord, urge to the living, worthy of the calling you have received, be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Amen. You may be seated. Now, what is the, bottom line of what we just read? How about this? Unity is not optional. Is that right? Yeah. But it's also, given a fallen world, not natural, is it? And that's why we need the work of the Spirit to maintain the unity. The Spirit's primary job is to maintain unity. For the Spirit to work freely among us, we must make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Now, I want to move from that into a little discussion that precedes the discussion of the scriptures that deal with an assembly. I want to talk a little bit about tradition versus teachings. How much of our view of the assemblies is rooted in biblical principles, and how much is rooted in tradition? Now, the one thing we have to watch about tradition is that it constrains thinking. Do you understand how the connection there? Tradition builds a box for you. And it constrains thinking. So let's run a little exercise here for just a minute. If I use the word secular, what do you think of? The world. Things of this world? That kind of thing? Okay. So, what else? I mean, does this look like a good list here? When I put the word sacred up, what do you think of? Does that look good? You know, heavenly, God, realm, eternal, so on. Is that what you? Is that somewhat what you think of? If that kind of covers what you think of, raise your hand. I mean, okay, that's good. So we've got the two domains then, the secular and the sacred. Now, Ed talked about, and I tried to introduce it a little bit, he talked about whole life worship. So I'll raise a question. Where is whole life worship in that? That's the typical view. That's the traditional view of looking at life, the secular and the sacred. I thought that was a grand thing. I mean, I did it for years. Thought it was a grand thing. So, but those are the two domains, but what if you looked at it differently? What if you looked at it like this? Here are the things of life. Art, school, music, home, family, shopping, business, job, government, hobbies, medicine, sex. But here's the difference. If we have a whole life worship, here's the difference. If it's in harmony with God's will, can there be good art and bad art? Can there be good business practices and bad business practices? Are business practices by title or in and of themselves necessarily bad? Is sex necessarily bad? No, there are some conditions in Scripture. So, if it's in harmony with God's will, and if it's not in harmony with God's will, it's what? Bad, evil, what have you. It depends on how we use it, how we live it out. Can I use that word about whole life worship? How we live it out. We've got to be real conscious of that. Okay, so that then has a place for whole. Do you see how an assumption or a traditional view can lead you to the wrong end or the wrong view of what's around you? Maybe not for everybody, but for some. I mean, I grew up all the way through until not too many years ago talking about the sacred and the secular. And I tell you, it gets in the church in unfortunate ways because we make a pretty big separation sometimes about the physical part of the church and the running the physical part of the church. And it is necessary, but it's also a trust that we've been given as well, isn't it? And so how we use that comes into the picture. So let me move on a little bit here then. Let me back up just a bit. Traditions are not necessarily bad, but they can be helpful. But here's the problem. Jesus pointed it out in Mark 7:13. The problem was that by their traditions they had made null and void the Word of God. In other words, by their traditions, they had not been watching. Well, they had not been thinking. They had not been examining. They had not been discerning because of their traditions. And their traditions were making, so when the traditions can work counter to God's intent and purposes as given in the Scripture, that's bad. That's a bad tradition. As I said earlier, tradition can lead to constrained thinking. So let me move to some questions. How much of our thinking and emotions about the Sunday assemblies are rooted in the Scriptures and how much in tradition? I raised that a little earlier. It's been a long-standing practice. Something that is a long-standing practice is not legitimate just because it's been around a long time. What are we obligated to do? Examine in the light of the Scriptures. That's what we're obligated to do. It's critical to know and to keep track of yourself And the practices that you agree to, it's critical to know what is a biblical principle and what is traditional. Traditions that mitigate against the biblical principles, can be changed. The biblical principles cannot be changed. So let's talk about change just a minute. There's what I want. Change can be difficult. Anybody notice that? If you brush your teeth with your right hand, try brushing with your left hand sometime, or if you get your right hand broken, that's quite a challenge, isn't it? For a while, anyway. So change is difficult, and where there's an emotional component to it, like there is to our spiritual life, it gets pretty difficult. But I'll say this: the status quo is not best for a dynamic body as a whole. The status quo is not best. Why? I mean, isn't it all right to get into church and get comfortable and keep rocking along for a long time? The devil is a moving target. The devil never rests. The devil's always looking for how he can put you to sleep, one way or the other. That's his mission. Let's see where I am here now. The elders, with help and inputs, strive to discern what is best for the whole church. Some of the considerations are, the first one is, in fact, what biblical principles apply to the situation, in this case, to the assembly. You have to recognize the various sentiments and within the body. But most certainly there has to be prayer and communication and understanding and patience. Sometimes you just have to see how things work out. Anybody have the same thing that I have? Is every time the automobile changes, I think the new one doesn't look as good as the last year's model. Does anybody have that feeling but me? But then by the time the year's up, it looks pretty normal, doesn't it? All except these kind of science sci-fi grills they've got that go across the whole front now. That looks like some big bug trying to get me or something. I haven't gotten used to those yet. Matter of fact, I run from them. Not afraid I'll get gobbled up. But anyway, you ever had a living room redecorated? It looks a little different for a while, doesn't it? And all of a sudden, a little while, you get used to it. And so sometimes when we're making changes, you have to give it a little bit of an opportunity. That's where the patience come in. So work together and work together as best we can. I want to give you an example of that, of what it really takes. When Ed and Lois Smith came here and we were trying to get established on both state universities. And this church, as I've told some of you, some of you heard it before, but this church, half of the population was over 60 years old and it was all white. That's a little bit of an uphill going in three decades ago, four now. And we had two sisters here, one of them, the Thornwaite sisters. One was called Edith, and the other was called Ola. One was tall, and one was short. And Edith came over to Delois, took her hands, and looked at her, because they're both short, looked at her, and said, "Honey, We're trying to get used to all this, and you just give us a little time. Was that the right answer? Absolutely was. And when we get things going on in the body here, when we make changes, when we do things for the good of the body as a whole, you can't take a group this diverse. And all the elders can do is equally spread the unhappiness. That's about the best we can do. But together, we can go forward with new strength and new vitality. Central has a history of being able to step up to those kinds of challenges. And let's not let it stop with this generation. Let me talk about my journey on the assembly thing for just a minute. Let's see. Okay. I guess that clock's right. No, I can't keep two things going at once. I can't walk and chew gum either, so. Here's how this whole thing came about in my case. I was doing some study years ago, and in the W.E. Vines Expository Dictionary of the New Testament, most anybody who does Bible studies has looked at the Vines Expository Dictionary. It's a classical book. Worship of God is nowhere defined in Scripture. Broadly, it may be regarded as a direct acknowledgement to God of His nature, attributes, ways, and claims, whether by the outgoing of the heart in praise or the thanksgiving, or by deeds done in such acknowledgement. I thought that was good. That's kind of what Ed's talked about last week, wasn't it? That's the whole package. What? That was my response when I read that. What? So guess what a stubborn fella sets out to do? Try to see where he missed it. Well, time went on, and so what do you do? Now, this is a little 101 lesson, but why? You start a Bible study. You go into the Bible, right? That's what I'm trying to say. You go into the Bible and you ask some questions. So I went in to study, and where did they find themselves together, if it's known? Why did they gather? Where did they find themselves together? What did they do when they gathered or when they were instructed to do something? And that's three basic questions, isn't it? Why did they come together to start with? Where did they find themselves together? Not always given. And what did they do when they were there? Well, so this thing is going to. So there's a little chart that I couldn't let you off without one table. But if you look in, look in the Scriptures, in the New Testament, you will find 10 assemblies discussed. You will find 4 in other than Acts, and 7 inferred strongly. And then there's one that's all by itself. There's one that, and Revelation does a lot, there's one which is the great reunion in the sky. That's when everything's going to work pretty well. So that's in just to give you some indication of what went on. Now, from the beginning, the assemblies were all about unity, edification, and a concern for one another. And it's also interesting that the lubrication for all that, for unity, is love. Now, how can that be? What do I mean by that? What's the definition of biblical love? If you're more concerned about somebody else than you are yourself, you can be bonded with that person and you can go off in unity, right? But if you're more concerned about yourself than somebody else, what happens? There's no unity. Love is the lubricant of relationships. So we fast forward in time a little bit, or in the scriptures a little bit. We go to chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. Corinthians is a good source of insights in the local church, and in that, it's addressed what breaks unity and what builds unity. The unity theme runs through the book, in fact. It starts at the beginning. We read 1 Corinthians 1:10 a moment ago, and it also is, we're not going to get into this because of the time constraints, but there is a handout available of the whole study on that table between the doors for the ones that have an interest in going in it further. But by time constraints, we will just move on. So you'll take what we went through there, and what do we find? We find that there's 16 different purposes recorded. We normally think of one, which is what? One, which is worship. That's what we normally think of. Worship just happens when you get together with other Christians or when you're doing your own worship for God. So there are 16 different purposes. Now, I don't know how to exactly bring this up, but we do have, when we have mission reports, we have people that think they've been robbed of something at the assembly. We're taking up time with mission reports. Well, if you go to 14:23 in Acts, you'll find that when Paul got back to Antioch, does anybody recall what happened? They were so anxious to know what was going on in another part of the world and the Lord and what God was doing that the whole church came together to hear him. That's one of those purposes. It indicates a broader scope and more flexibility in our Sunday assemblies than we typically have. And I think we have room to loosen up within the biblical guidance. It's always within the biblical guidance and always within the context of needs and what's just reasonable to do. So there were a variety of circumstances and places. Now here's one that some of you may take a second breath at. But there are no five acts of worship or liturgy in there. That's part of what was troubling when I read the vines thing is because I was trained going up to believe there are five acts of worship. When you've done that, you worshiped, right? And I come to find out that that's not the case. But there are no five acts of worship. You take the assembly, and it's interesting how these five acts came about. I don't know whether I'm going back and forth. I won't get into it now. But anyway, it has a history of how it got into the system, and we can't get it out. The word worship is not used in the connection with any church gathering. Now, doesn't that make sense if you're worshiping 24/7? You may worship when you come together sometimes, but that's not what Ed was saying, and that's what I'm saying. But it's not used in connection. No assembly recorded in the New Testament will fit what we commonly hold as a worship service. Some observations, checking right along here, is if you look at them, and I've got to study, I laid it out back there so somebody have an interest can check me out on this, on these things. But it's more like a close-knit family taking care of a variety of family matters than the classical worship service. They did a whole bunch of things. Now, I talked about the mission report, but they also, we do it occasionally here, but they had disfellowships as a family thing. But they call a group together to solve the injustice in the administration of the food to the widows. You could go on and on with the list. The lives were shared, the supper was celebrated, things that happened, prayers were lifted up, praises for God, mission reports, issues addressed, doctrinal differences were discussed. Acts 15, they had a big meeting of the church. What was that all about? There was a doctrinal matter that was splitting the church. And that was discussed in front of the whole church, if I understand the text right. The church was involved. It's an involved church that we're talking about. As I said, important letters were read. Discord over association with the Gentiles settled. Prayers were uplifted for the imprisoned. Edification, instructions in thanksgiving, comfort, and sharing with God what God was doing among his people. And there's a case for a leader rebuke. And I won't go on and on. I think you see what's happening here. So it was it's more of a close-knit family than it is somehow or other I've got stuff in there double, but I guess double's better than not at all. Let me say a word here. I put this one in on purpose. There is a process when you disassociate with somebody, and the process is that you try to win the brother back. You go to them, you work with them. 18:15 says, go to him by yourself, go to him with a third party, and then if that doesn't work, take it to the church. That's the process. I put it in because that's the process we want to use here. The gatherings were a consistent feature of Christian life. I'm running out of gas. I got to pick up and hurry up. They were eager to come together. Here's just a summary, and we'll leave it at that. You can see it. Now, and you go to 14, the gifts were competing. There was disunity between the tongue speakers and the prophets who were doing the teaching. What was the disunity doing? It was defeating the primary purpose of the assembly. That's what it was doing. And Paul points out is that if it's not strengthening, encouraging, comforting, edifying and building up, instructing, convincing visitors and unbelievers among you, then you've missed the fundamental purpose. There will be prayers, praise, singing, thanksgiving, amens, prophecies convicted visitors and unbelievers. They fell down and said, God is among you. So what's this all about? Change is difficult, but the status quo will ultimately lead us to frustration, or lead to the frustration of several of us, and stagnation and decline of the church. There has to be a renewal process. And the renewal process has to start with each individual. The It calls for change. Change should be progressive, well-planned, and well-implemented. You don't want to create any chaos with it. Has anybody ever been in a company organization when it wasn't very well planned and it didn't do too well? In fact, when they got through, it was just chaos. Anybody ever have that experience? If you've been in a business very long, you've had that experience, particularly if you're with the government. Somebody's going to reorganize something that makes no sense at all. So it has to be done in a fitting and orderly way. Need the support with prayer, communication, understanding, patience, to the aid of the Holy Spirit. Aided by the Holy Spirit, we can accomplish that. Another so what? The assemblies are an important part of building up and strengthening the church. It is best if we don't narrow the biblical scope to what is referred to as a worship service and a liturgy. We should use the flexibility and variety permitted in the scriptures to build up the church. It's there for a purpose. So I would say, see where I am here. I would go back with the chart I used earlier. Worship is our personal work with God, and at assembly times, we come together for whatever the needs of the moment and the church are. So, I was going to say something about music, but I took that out for another time. I figured if I put music in the middle of this, it would really detract from the rest of it if I haven't already detracted from it. So I appreciate your attention. I hope you have something to think about, and I appreciate the opportunity to share that with you. We will have a song, I think. Well, I ain't gonna lead it. If you've been pondering things in your heart, you have something on your heart for the Lord, and something on the heart you want to share with the church, or you want to share with the church, if you come up, we'll assist you with that. And we hope you have a blessed day.